If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com. If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You know, you've given us a fascinating ancient text to delve into. Today, it's the beginning of the story of Tobit and his son, Tobiah.
Yeah.
And it's a tale that, on the surface, seems like a simple request, a father asking his son to do an errand.
Right.
But you quickly start to see all these layers of trust, identity, maybe even something a bit, well, supernatural.
Oh, absolutely. It's a story that draws you in right from the start.
So to set the stage, let's give our listeners a quick overview. We're looking at an excerpt from the Book of Tobit, right?
Yes, the very beginning.
Yeah.
It focuses on the setup for this journey that Tobiah is about to embark on.
And it's packed with details that raise questions about how things worked back then, the dangers involved, and the dynamics between the characters.
It really makes you think, you know, about the challenges of long-distance travel and financial transactions in that era.
Absolutely. So for this deep dive, our mission is threefold. First, we want to understand what motivates this whole journey.
Right. Why is Tobit sending his son on this potentially dangerous mission in the first place?
Exactly. Second, we're going to break down the practical steps involved, how you'd even begin to prepare for such an undertaking.
And we can't forget the historical and cultural context here. Those details really illuminate the significance of what's happening.
And finally, we have this mysterious figure who enters the scene.
Right.
And who, as we find out later, plays a huge role in the story. So with that in mind, I'm thrilled to have our expert here with us today.
Glad to be here.
Who's going to help us unpack all of this. And they've got this incredible knack for connecting all these seemingly disparate details.
Well, my try.
So let's dive right in, shall we?
Sure.
The story opens with Tobit giving Tobiah this, well, pretty significant task.
Yes. Tobit asks Tobiah to journey to a distant land called Media and retrieve a sum of money from a man named Gabel.
And you can almost immediately sense Tobiah's, I don't know, hesitation, his concerns.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, imagine being told to travel to a faraway land to meet someone you've never met, someone who might not even remember your father.
Exactly. And Tobiah's like, Dad, I've never even met this Gabel. How will he even know who I am?
Right. And Media. That's not a trip you just take lightly. That's a serious journey, potentially fraught with danger.
Right. Unfamiliar roads, bandits, wild animals. It paints a vivid picture of the challenges inherent in travel back then.
It does. And it's not just the travel, it's the financial transaction itself. Think about it. How do you prove you're who you say you are? How do you guarantee the other party will uphold their end of the bargain?
Yeah, these are big questions, and it really highlights the lack of like standardized systems we take for granted today.
Absolutely. No banks, no wire transfers, no easy way to verify identities.
So how does Tobit address these concerns? I mean, he must have anticipated them.
He does. He provides Tobiah with what's called a bond. It's a document, probably made of papyrus or parchment, that's split into two parts.
Like a contract.
More like a receipt or a promissory note.
Mm.
It would have details of the money deposited, the date, maybe even signatures or seals.
And each party keeps one half.
Precisely. It's a physical representation of the agreement. And in this case, it's been 20 years since Tobit entrusted this money to Gabel.
20 years! Wow! That adds another layer of complexity.
It does. Imagine trying to track down someone after two decades,
mm-hmm.
in a time when communication and record keeping were so different.
And that bond, it's almost like seeing a very early form of secure authentication. You can almost feel the weight and importance attached to those two halves.
Absolutely. It's a tangible symbol of trust. But as Tobiah points out, the bond alone doesn't solve the problem of actually getting to Media and finding this Gabel. That's a whole other challenge.
Exactly. Having the right credentials doesn't help much if you can't even find the person you're looking for or if you get lost or robbed along the way.
Right. And that's where the need for a travel companion becomes crucial.
Yeah, someone who knows the way, who can speak the language, maybe even someone who can offer protection.
Exactly. And the text specifically mentions that Tobit agrees to pay wages for this companion. It emphasizes the fact that this is a job, a profession. These experienced travelers were valuable assets for anyone undertaking such a journey.
So it's not just about finding a friend to tag along. This is a serious business transaction, a matter of safety and security.
Absolutely. You're entrusting your life, and in this case, a significant sum of money to this person. Choosing wisely was essential.
And then we come to what feels like a pivotal moment in the story. Tobiah sets out to find a companion.
Yes.
And in what seems like an incredible stroke of luck, he encounters a young man, Raphael.
And the text is very specific here. It says, he went out and found the angel Raphael standing before him, though he did not know that this was an angel of God.
Right. And that parenthetical statement, it adds this whole other dimension to the encounter.
It does. For Tobiah, this is just a chance meeting, a fortunate coincidence. But for us, the readers, we know there's something more at play here.
It's almost like dramatic irony, isn't it? We have this privileged knowledge that the characters don't.
Exactly. And it immediately raises the question for you, the listener. Is this really just a coincidence? Or is there a guiding hand at play in Tobiah's search?
It does make you wonder. But from Tobiah's perspective, this seems like a pretty good find. So he starts asking Raphael some questions.
He does. And Raphael's responses are incredibly detailed and reassuring. He identifies himself as an Israelite, claims to have traveled extensively in Media.
He even specifically mentions that he stayed with Gabel in Rages.
Yes, and he describes the journey between Ecbatana and Rages, where Gabel lives, in detail, even mentioning the terrain, saying it's a two-day journey with mountains and then plains.
It's almost suspiciously perfect, isn't it? This stranger just happens to be there, knows the route, knows the person.
It's definitely enough to make you raise an eyebrow. But from Tobiah's perspective, he's found someone knowledgeable, someone who seems trustworthy.
So Tobiah, being a sensible guy, he offers Raphael wages for his services.
He does. And Raphael agrees to wait while Tobiah consults his father. This is a pretty big decision after all.
It is. And I love how Tobit reacts to this news. He's cautious. He doesn't just blindly accept this stranger into their lives.
Right. He wants to know more about Raphael, about his family, his background. He asks, what tribe are you from? And from what family?
It's like their version of checking references, right?
Yeah.
But it goes deeper than that. In their culture, lineage, family ties, that was everything.
Absolutely. It's about establishing trust. But it's also about understanding someone's place within the social structure. And Raphael's initial response to these questions, it's interesting. He kind of deflects.
He does. He's like, why do you need to know all that? I'm just a hired guide.
Right. What need do you have for a tribe? Aren't you just looking for a hired man? Almost as if he's intentionally downplaying his identity.
Yeah, and that's where you start to sense that maybe, just maybe, Raphael is more than just a simple traveler.
It's a subtle hint, but it's definitely there. But Tobit, being the cautious father, he insists on knowing more. And finally, Raphael reveals his true identity.
And it's a game changer, isn't it?
It is. He tells Tobit, I am Azariah, son of the great Hananiah, one of your kinsmen.
And you can almost feel this wave of relief wash over Tobit. He instantly recognizes the name, recalls shared history with Hananiah and his brother Nathan.
Yes. He says, welcome. God save you, brother. Do not be angry with me, brother, because I wanted to know your tribe and family. And then he goes on to reminisce about their time together in Jerusalem, how Hananiah and Nathan were men of good reputation, respected elders.
It's this beautiful moment of connection, of kinship recognized.
And it immediately solidifies that bond of trust. They're no longer strangers negotiating a deal. They're family, bound by shared history and mutual respect.
And once that connection is made, the practicalities of the journey are settled rather quickly. Tobit offers a drachma per day, plus expenses, with a possible bonus for a speedy return.
Right, which gives us a glimpse into the economic realities of the time. This journey isn't just dangerous, it's also a financial investment.
And then Raphael, or Azariah, as he's now known, he confidently assures Tobit that everything will be all right. He says, "Do not worry. We shall leave in good health and return to you in good health, for the way is safe."
And it's not just a casual reassurance. There's a certainty in his voice, almost a guarantee, that hints at his true nature and abilities.
It's like he knows something Tobit doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come to this really tender moment. Tobit, filled with paternal concern, gives Tobiah his blessing.
He does, and he prays for their safe journey, saying, "May God in heaven protect you on the way and bring you back to me safe and sound." But then he adds the seemingly offhand remark, "I hope a good angel will go with you."
And it's that line that really stands out, doesn't it? Especially for us, the listeners. It's like a subtle wink from the author reminding us that there's something extraordinary happening here.
Absolutely. It's a hint, a foreshadowing of the divine intervention that's guiding this whole story.
And right when you think things are settled, the story introduces another layer of emotion. Tobiah's mother, she's heartbroken at the thought of her son leaving.
It's a very human reaction, isn't it? She bursts into tears saying, "Why did you decide to send my child away? Isn't he the staff of our hand, our support in our old age?"
And her concern isn't about the money, it's all about her son's safety.
Yeah, she's like, "Let that cursed money be lost and destroyed as long as I have my child." It's a poignant reminder of the human cost of these journeys, the anxieties and fears that families face.
And it underscores the immense value placed on family ties, on the bonds between parents and children.
Absolutely. It's a powerful reminder that within this narrative of adventure and potentially divine intervention, there are very real, very human emotions at play.
And how does Tobit respond to his wife's distress?
Well, he tries to comfort her. He reassures her, saying, "Stop worrying. He will go in good health and return to you in good health." And then he reiterates his belief in divine protection, saying, "A good angel will go with him, his journey will be successful, and he will come back in good health."
And it's not just a husband trying to calm his wife down. There's a conviction in his voice, a deep-seated faith that resonates throughout the story.
Absolutely. And upon hearing these words, the mother stops weeping. It's as if Tobit's faith, his belief in angelic protection, has a calming effect on her.
So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've seen Tobit's desperate need for the money, Tobiah's natural apprehension about this dangerous journey, and this seemingly providential encounter with Raphael, who establishes trust through his knowledge and then through this revelation of kinship.
And we've seen how Tobit meticulously prepares for the journey, ensuring his son's safety, not just physically, but also in his mind spiritually.
And then there's the mother's emotional response. Her anxieties and fears, which are ultimately soothed by Tobit's unwavering faith. It's a rich tapestry of human emotion, cultural context, and hints of the supernatural.
It really is. It's a story that draws you in on so many levels.
So for our listeners, I want to leave you with a few questions to ponder. What strikes you most about this initial setup? How does this blend of practical concerns, the dangers of travel, the importance of family ties, and then the subtle hints of divine intervention impact your understanding of the story?
What I find fascinating is how the author so skillfully intertwines the everyday realities of life in that era with this sense of a larger, perhaps divinely guided plan.
And the emphasis on kinship, on reputation, on those social structures, it really provides a unique window into how trust was established and maintained back then.
Absolutely. And then you have Raphael's almost too perfect arrival and Tobit's mention of an angel, these elements leave you wondering just how much of this journey is orchestrated by forces beyond human comprehension.
It's a thought-provoking question, isn't it? Especially for us, living in a world where those ancient beliefs might seem far removed from our daily lives.
It is. It makes you wonder if maybe, just maybe, we too have unseen companions, guiding hands, or perhaps even significant missions that we're not yet fully aware of.
And that's a thought I'll definitely be carrying with me. So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep an eye out for those unexpected encounters that might just change everything.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.